The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Judas.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone here as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting with us, I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful and grateful for you being here on this morning. We never want to take that for granted, those who come visit us, and we want to wish you well. We hope and pray that God will bless your life and that you'll put yourself in a position and keep yourself in a position that God can continue to bless you. Well, last week we talked about the Father and how the Father desires for us to be his people and how he desires to be our God. And God is one that commands us to leave sin in order for us to be identified with him. For God desires to be identified with his people when they have a desire to identify with him. And we have started a series on this year, Generation to Generation. And on today, I want us to look at Jesus Christ. Do you know that it doesn't matter what you are going through, emotionally, psychologically, physically, you can always rely upon the facts. What facts? The facts that Jesus is the Christ. The facts that he is the Messiah. The fact that he is the Emmanuel, God with us. So that's what I want us to talk about on this morning as we consider generation to generation. When building a foundation, whether it's a structure, a building, a home, a house, you want to make sure that that foundation is strong. You want to make sure that that foundation will be able to hold the structure. So therefore, you have to dig deep. The Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 6, as we begin our study on this morning, and I hope and pray that you will turn in your Bibles, that you will give full attention to the Word of God. I know that there may be many things going on in your life, but right now is the Lord's time, and it's our time to learn more about Jehovah and how we can better please him. In Luke chapter 6, starting at verse number 46, Jesus would say this, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me, listen to the language, and hears my sayings and does them. I will show you whom he is like. Here's the verse I want us to capitalize on. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded on the rock. But notice the latter part of this particular idea that Jesus brings forth, verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this out is because, again, it doesn't matter what's going on in the life of the Christian. The Christian has to base their lives on the facts of Jesus Christ, on the facts that Jesus Christ brought forth great teachings that will not only help the individual, but save the individual. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11 concerning the foundation. Friends, anyone who has any type of construction experience or has built a house, the foundation is what's going to hold up the structure. The last thing you want is to put a house structure or foundation underneath a great building. The structure has to have the appropriate foundation. That's why when you consider the church and you consider the life of the Christian has to have the appropriate foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, notice what your Bible here has to say through verse number 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus Christ has to be the foundation if we're going to stand. Again, it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. We have to have something that we can build upon. And really, what we need to build upon are the facts that are found in the scriptures concerning this great man that came forth from heaven, Jesus the Christ. So I want us to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 as we look at some crucial foundational teachings. Now, this is very important, and the reason why I wanted to bring this across in this manner, because in the theme generation to generation, it is vitally important as parents that you establish a foundation for your children. It doesn't matter how old they may be. It doesn't matter if your children are toddlers or if they are in their teens or maybe they are even in their 20s and 30s. It's nothing wrong with going back to the foundation, because in the foundation, once you lay that foundation and it is strong and sturdy, you can build on top of it. And friends, that's the key to Christianity. The key to Christianity is building upon a strong foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. The reason why I had Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through 25 read in your hearing, because as I was studying and I looked at these passages, it was just thrilling me, because when we consider some of the things that are found in these passages, friends, if we don't believe the things that we see in Matthew chapter 1 verses 1 through verse number 25, our Christianity will crumble. It will crumble. It will fall on its face. So it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I've said that 3 times on purpose. Because sometimes in Christianity, you have to just go back to the facts. And even though life may remain the same, you know that these facts will not change and my life will be okay regardless. Job would say it this way: man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, we see something very interesting about this text. Because in this text, we literally have a complete break of Old Testament prophecy now entering into New Testament fulfillment. For Jesus Christ is the New Testament fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. For the Jew, The Jew desired to know this Christ, this anointed one. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Christ. They were looking for this earthly king, if you will. However, Jesus Christ was going to be born, and he was going to be born of a virgin. And this was going to be a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. But notice what your Bible here says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. The King James says was as according to this wise. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that's important, and not wanting to make her a public example. He didn't want her to be a public spectacle, if you will. A good passage that will help you with this particular word example is Hebrews 6 and verse number 6 and Numbers chapter 25 and verse number 4. And was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things. Now, let's stop real quick. Let me have your attention. Notice Joseph. He's in a dilemma, y'all. There's a problem. The woman that he's betrothed to is pregnant, and it's not by him. That sounds like a problem, right? So he stops and he thinks about this. He has all of this respect for Mary, but he doesn't want to make her an embarrassment. So he stops and he considers, he thinks. I want to make just one point right here. Friends, let's stop and think a little bit more than what we're doing today. If you're thinking a lot already, fine. But you can always stop and just think just a little bit more. How can I go forward with this situation without making someone look like a public spectacle? How can I go through this situation and the best outcome is the result? Just something to think about. Not part of the lesson, but I believe that's a great point that God doesn't want us to just gloss over. Look what he says. Drop down to verse number, verse 20. As while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That's key. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wanted you to put your finger there and go to Luke chapter 1. And I want us to take our time and notice something in verse number 35. Now, it's important for us to make this particular point because Mary wasn't just being pregnant, just to be pregnant. And Joseph didn't have anything to do with her being pregnant. All of this was because of the will of God. Now, friends, that's a fact. Because we have some, even in our world today, that don't believe that Mary had Jesus and that Jesus was of the Holy Spirit. They say that there's no way that that could happen. Well, to those who believe the Bible, it settles the matter. Notice in Luke chapter 1, and start verse number 35. I'll just read this just for time's sake. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One, the King James Version said that holy thing, that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now that's important, friends. That's important because our Christianity is based upon Jesus Christ being the Son of God, not the Son of Man. And when I say the Son of Man, meaning Joseph's son. In John chapter 8 and verse number 42, Jesus, as he is talking to the religious leaders, he said, I proceed from my Father. That's a very powerful point. And we have to keep that in our minds. And sometimes, depending on what I'm going through in life, I got to revert back to the facts. I got to revert back to the facts. Why am I doing what I am doing? And it is my responsibility to teach my children and to teach anyone I come in contact with that you need to rely upon the facts because the facts will never change. Notice verse number 21. And she will bring forth a son. Remember Isaiah 9, verse number 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And you shall call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? He will save his people from their sins. Friends, that's a fact. That's a fact. It will never change. That fact, Brother Brian, will never change. Jesus would save men from their sins. And friends, amen to that. Because the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and verse number 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we see something here that's very powerful that we have to keep in mind. And friends, we have to teach our children, teach them when they're little bitty, that Jesus is the Son of God. And he is the one that saves us from our sins. Daddy, what is sin? Good question, baby. You see what I'm saying? You're building a foundation. So that quiet time, I'm trying to help y'all out now. You put them on the couch and say, you sit there for 5 minutes and we're going to talk about Jesus. Take the gadget out their hand and talk to them about Jesus. Have some quiet time. And I guarantee you when they grow up, they'll want to come to church and sit down and they want to hear about Jesus. And when the preacher get up there and talk about everything but Jesus, he's going to get up and go to the preacher and say, why aren't you talking about Jesus? My mom and daddy talked to me about Jesus as I sat down, and you're going to talk to me about Jesus as well. I'm not having anything less. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow, walls and windows and lights. Notice verse 22. So all of this was done. Notice this text, friends, is just pregnant with information for us. So all of this was done in order that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name, listen to this, friends, Emmanuel. Now, we didn't look at verse number 16 and 17 of this particular chapter where we find the Christ. But we see Jesus. And we see Emmanuel. And notice this foundational truth. God with us. Now, I could give some application and we could shut this sermon down right now. But friends, do you understand what this meant to the Jew that heard this and believed the scriptures of the Old Testament that was leading to this Christ, this Messiah, this anointed one, this Savior? God with us. They heard that language before. And friends, when we stop and we consider God being with me, friends, if nothing else, if all forsake me, like Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if all left me, God is with me. God is with me. When you think of this word Emmanuel, it is symbolic and prophetic concerning the name Messiah. It's interesting that the woman in John 4 understood that Messiah was coming. Emmanuel is coming. God with us is coming. Jesus would say, the one in whom you speak about, I'm he. I'm the one. I'm the Emmanuel. I am the one that God says is going to be with you. Now, let's take a step back and let's ponder this. Let's think about this for a second. Because in thinking about this, hopefully, some of the crucial teachings of Jesus Christ will help us even in our own personal lives. Number one, Matthew 3, turn your Bibles there. Let's look at a crucial teaching concerning Jesus the Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, with the focal point being on verse number 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting. Notice what Jesus says, friends, for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, notice what Jesus says. He said, John, you and I have to do this because we together have to fulfill righteousness. But why is this an important fact? Why is this something that I can base my Christianity upon? I can base my Christianity upon this fact because Jesus Christ was obedient to the will of God. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 24 through 25, don't have time to look at that in its entirety, but the chief priests and the elders, they asked Jesus a question concerning his authority. Jesus said, I'll answer you if you answer me. The baptism of John, where is it from? Heaven or men? They deliberated. They talked about it. They schemed in their mind. And they say, we don't know. Isn't it interesting that the baptism of John was from heaven? Jesus, why would you submit to the baptism of John, seeing that you had no sin? Because God commanded it. Now, why did we obey the gospel? Why were we baptized in water for the remission of our sins? Because God commanded it. Friends, we have to teach our children, you do what God says because God said it. That settles it. And one thing we love about God, that everything that he does is for our best interest. You remember Matthew 26, another foundational truth here. Crucial. Verses 36 through 46. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's crying, if you will. He has tears in his eyes. He is pouring out his heart to God. But hold on, Matthew 26, 36 through 46 doesn't tell us that. But turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. The Hebrews writer tells us that. In Hebrews 5, verse number 7 and verse number 8, friends, this is a very important point right here. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who heard him, to him who was able to save him from death, sorry about that, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. How do we know what Jesus went through in the garden? The Hebrews writer says that he cried out to God and God heard him. What does that teach us? What should the older generation teach the younger generation? That you cry out to God, and because of who God is and because of who you are, God will hear you. Friends, that's a foundational truth right there. We need to know that, and that will eliminate people leaving the Lord. That will eliminate people saying, I don't really believe that God is there listening to me. No, God is there. He was there for the Christ, and he'll be there for us. That's a foundational, crucial point right there. What are some more crucial points that we need to teach our children? We need to teach our children that Jesus Christ established his church. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, verses 13 through 19, I'm sorry. Jesus promised to build his church. Hold on, that makes sense. Jesus is a wise master builder. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. And as Jesus built his church and promised to build it, friends, that's what we're part of today. Brother Glenn, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. If I know I'm a member of the church, I'm going to be all right. If I stay faithful to the church, I'm going to be all right. If I stay faithful to that which Jesus built, I'm going to be okay. I just got to stay with it. I just got to suffer a little bit, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. I don't need to be suffering as an evildoer, 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, but I need to suffer as a Christian, verse 16. Those are foundational truths that we sit our little ones down and we teach them these things. Jesus, build. You know, buy your children if they're little boys, buy them some Lego blocks.
Hold on. Y'all don't buy Lego blocks no more. They're on computers now. You know, y'all to buy some Lego blocks, let them build with their hands. Why do I say that? Because it's something about hand-eye coordination. It's something about putting something together. Jesus built his church, and he built it with his blood. He built it with his word. And friends, those are foundational truths that will never, ever, ever go away. Here's another foundational truth, crucial, John 19, verses 30 through 34. We see there that when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And in verse number 34, the Bible teaches us that the soldier pierced him in the side, and forthwith came blood and water. It's the same blood that purchased the church, Acts 20 and verse 28. Jesus' blood was on the cross, Colossians 1 and verse number 20. He stained it. What does that teach us? I just got to stay with the blood-stained, bought body of Christ. I got to stay with it. Crucial points. Well, let's talk about some of Jesus' clever foundational teachings. Real quick, we're going to finish this up on tonight because it's important. I was talking to Brother Caleb Popejoy. We had breakfast this week and last week rather, and great conversation. Just a good conversation. He said something that just kind of wowed me a little bit. Some of the things that Jesus said was just plain clever. Let that sink in, friends. Sometimes we come up with some clever sayings and they sound pretty good, but there's not a person on the face of the earth that can beat Jesus saying something clever. Y'all think about that real quick. Let's talk about some of the things that Jesus said that was pretty clever. But first, let's talk about some people that said that he said some pretty awesome things. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Notice what was said about this great man of God. Preacher, why you keep talking about Jesus and him being a foundation? Because he is. What should the preacher be doing? Every Lord's Day, the preacher ought to be talking about Jesus Christ. Every Lord's Day. Why? This is his house. These are his words. And notice what they said about this great man of God after he ended these sayings. The people were astonished at his teachings, verse 20, 28. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Turn to Matthew 13. Let's look at verse 53 through verse 56. And as you're turning it, think about what was just said. And Jesus finished talking on the Sermon on the Mountainside, and he talks about all different types of subjects. And they were just enthralled by what he was saying. They were enthused by what he was saying. Question, are you enthused by what Jesus says in his word? Does what Jesus say in his word cause you to want to go and read some more about this great man? It's amazing. We can pick up a book from some author and this person could be a heathen. He could be a person that could care less about God. And he says some things in this book that just captivate us. Oh, it's so beautiful. So we want to read another book that he wrote or she wrote. Oh, that's what we do. How about Jesus? How about the things that he's wrote, that he written? Do we get captivated by this man? Notice in Matthew 13, verses 53 to verse 56. Turn your Bibles there. Look at what the Bible there says. It's very interesting what it said. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables. It's interesting. He's talking about the kingdom of God, and we'll talk about that tonight. That he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. Now he's at his own place now. So that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? It's interesting that his own people in Nazareth, as they were listening to him, like, wow, this guy here, this man here, this teacher here, he's awesome. Wow. Let's notice some clever things that Jesus said. Go to Matthew 7. Look at verses 15 through 20. We're not going to read it all. But friends, teach your children this. Teach your children this. Teach your children this. I said that three times. It's amazing. Jesus will say, Simon, Simon, Simon. Verily, verily, verily. Teach your children this. I guarantee you, you teach your children this principle, they'll stay out of a lot of trouble. They will stay out of a lot of problems. They will be able to identify people who are honest and good and wholesome to those who are not. And then you don't have to be calling someone later on. My son and my daughter is involved in this, and they're hanging around the wrong people. Teach them this. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, meaning they play acting. They're acting one way, but there's something else. But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. Jesus, this is interesting that you are saying this. This is clever how you're saying this. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, thorn bushes, figs, thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. I was talking to a fellow preacher this week, and we were talking about some situations and circumstances that was going on. And he said, yeah, the people I'm talking about, you know, they're good people. But hold on, if they're good people, why are they doing bad things? You see? We got to listen to Jesus. He's clever. He knows what he's talking about. Notice what he says. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Y'all hear that? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Jesus, this is clever. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. You know, I remember this saying that a guy told me one time. He said, when a person show you who they are, believe them. Teach your kids that. Teach them that. We didn't make this up, friends. Jesus said this. And when a person shows you who they really are, Jesus said, believe them. You will know them by their fruit. Hold on, let me give you one more before I let you go. Just in case you don't come back tonight. Luke 13. Look at Luke 13. Another clever, this is clever that Jesus would say something like this. Luke 13. I mean, who would come up with information like this? Who would say things like this? I tell you who would say things like this. The one that came forth from God. He it's amazing what came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Friends, we ought to spend time in the words of Christ, verse number one. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that the Galileans were worse sinners than all of those other Galileans? Because they suffered with such things? Now think about that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going through this, I must have done something wrong. No, that's not what Jesus says. You know, time and chance happen to all men. You know, if I pay my fare to get on a plane to fly from here to Nebraska and some other person pays their fare and they're on the plane and they're a sinner and they could care less about God. As a matter of fact, they just did a seminar on atheism and telling people that God doesn't exist. Here you got a child of God who's a preacher and an atheist. And man, let's say we're sitting right next to one another. And the plane go down. You know what? Am I a worse sinner because the plane went down? I went down with the guy who cared less about God? No. That's a powerful teaching that we have to teach our children. Because sometimes our children think, well, I'm going through this. It must be something I've done wrong. Could it be that something else, somebody else did something wrong and now you're just a recipient of what they did? That's true. And what God is teaching us, stop and think a little bit. Let's think about this. Notice what Jesus says. Now Jesus said this, I tell you nay, except you repent, shall likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but unless you repent, shall likewise perish. Jesus, what are you teaching us? I'm teaching you that you got to think a little bit. I'm teaching you that I am the way. Y'all come back tonight. Get the rest of it. Velton, how many we have this morning? Who? Let's see if we can get all 125. Y'all bring somebody else with you tonight. Y'all come back tonight. Get the rest of this. I'm not going to give you the rest of it right now. You come back, get the rest of it tonight. I promise you, it'd be well worth you coming back. At least think about it. Come back tonight, if you can. But friends, as parents, sit your children down. They might squirm and bark, but talk to them about Jesus. Pass it down to them. Maybe you have a friend who's not a child of God. They didn't grow up with religion. They didn't grow up near Christianity. Do them a favor. As you're sitting down, you're having lunch in the lounge, talk to them about Jesus. It's not about correcting everything that they say. It's about being wise. Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. He that winneth souls is wise. Looking for the perfect opportunity to go in and say something that's going to help them. Friends, that's why we're here. And we wouldn't be Christians if someone wasn't wise enough to either bring us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord or teach us the ways of righteousness. And when that took place, now we have an opportunity to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things that make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Friends, God is a good God. You come back tonight and you hear the rest of this. It's amazing what we gather from this great book. And Jesus has some great things to say. I hope you fall in love with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you know what that suggests? Falling in love with him. Keep my commandments. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider Jesus Christ and him crucified. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight too. Think about that. If you have not been baptized into Christ, Jesus says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. That baby's all right. Somebody's saying amen up in here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus wants all men to be saved. Question. Have you obeyed the gospel today? Are you a Christian, a New Testament Christian? Are you a member of the Lord's church? Have all your sins been washed away? Have your conscience been cleansed from dead works? Now you can serve the living God. If not, we want you to consider it. Why? Because we want you to be in full fellowship with God. And the only way that that can happen is through Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you got problems. Well, man born of a woman's few days and full of trouble. But friends, you don't have to go through problems by yourself. We're the church. Out of 125 people, if you can't find one or two that's going to help you, I don't know what we're doing wrong. We're family. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. We're the called out ones. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Bring your troubles. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Want your problems to be dealt with? Learn from the master. Sit at his feet. Learn. Let us help you. There should never be a Christian that should leave the assembly the same way that they came in. We're Christians. And if we can't go to the family of God, then it leaves the bottle, drugs and sex and everything else. You might as well take that if you can't go to Jesus. But Jesus said, you don't need none of that. Come to me and I'll give you rest. We serve a great God. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. The people of God can help you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.